from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Up here on the morning after the 4th of July. I know for those of you who are up at 6 a.m., and if you are, let us know on the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line, 305-567-0560. Because for a lot of the, the white collar folks out there, you know, you're probably still off today. Let me know if you're working, you work in the hospitals, you're working in stores, truck drivers. Give us a shout on the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line at 305-567-0560. Let us know why you're up early on this holiday weekend. I'm always up early, but I'm up especially early today. I'm Alex Dono filling in for Joe Rose. We got our guy Trevor filling in for Hollywood. Trevor, how you doing, sir?
I'm great. And the only bad part about my 4th of July is I get the worst sunburn of my life on my back already. So I am
really?
Yeah. I thought I got everything. The back and the neck, I was about to pass out. I felt burning. I was like, oh no, this is the worst thing ever to start off a long weekend already, getting sunburn on 4th of July.
You seem like, and I'm in the same boat, like fair skinned. You probably get sunburned pretty easily, right?
I don't honestly. Wow. I do everything, get every inch. I'm usually good. This is the first time I've gotten burned in a while, and it's on the back of the neck. I literally put like the ointment on this morning when after my shower, so I could feel better at least. I gotta put another layer on when I get back to home, anyways, before I go tanning and stuff.
Put another layer of aloe on pretty soon. I'll tell you, the most important, disappointing part of my 4th of July yesterday was, yeah, I like to see what's going on every year with the hot dog eating contest. Now, I hadn't kept up with all the buildup at all this year. I feel like shame on me, because I know that that's Hawk and Crowder's beat. And had I been listening a little bit more regularly, I probably would have realized that Joey Chestnut was not competing in the Nathans this year. I didn't know that. I didn't keep up with any of the pre-contest stuff. I start tuning in yesterday to the Nathan's hot dog eating contest, which is it's a silly, stupid thing that I wouldn't care about any other day of the year. But on the 4th of July, the Nathan's contest means something to me. And the guy who's the Michael Jordan, or the LeBron James, if you prefer that analogy of competitive eating, Joey Chestnut, wasn't part of the contest this year because he's off representing vegan dogs. I guess he's got a little soft over the years, Joey. And there's a contract dispute between Chestnut and Major League Eating, because they're obviously in bed with Nathan's, and he's supporting the Impossible Dogs, so they couldn't come to an agreement. So it's like, Trevor, when I realized that Joey was not even in the contest, I turned the damn thing right off. Like, I found something else to watch with my kid. Like, it's not the hot dog eating contest without Joey Chestnut.
You threw on the Marlins and Red Sox, even though the Red Sox out Fenway'd the Marlins and stuff.
I didn't though. I actually, here's the other thing that I like to watch all 4th of July long. It's a big tradition for me personally.
Is it the Rocky movies? Because that's always a nice 4th of July tradition, I've been told by people.
I can watch those any day of the year. What I watch on the 4th of July is the Twilight Zone marathon
on
Sci-Fi.
Okay.
Yeah, there's just something about it. But then, like, I couldn't watch that all day like I usually would, because my wife thought it would scare our 6-year-old, because he wanted to watch it, but she didn't want him to have nightmares about all the aliens and ghosts and stuff that are in every episode. So it's a very turbulent 4th of July in my house. But here's the good news. I didn't blow off any limbs yesterday. We did set off a few, you know, minor fireworks in the front lawn in the driveway, and I was not one of those. You know, there's like hundreds of thousands of Americans that show up to the emergency room every single year from firework accidents. Like, you think they're easy to set off. I think the problem, Trevor, is that, you know, people just assume that all of these, you know, fireworks you buy, I'm sure most of them, if not all of them, come from China. People just assume, yeah, these things all work the way they're supposed to. You light the fuse, you've got like 6 seconds to run away, fire in the hole. It's what I say after I light the fuse. But listen, some of those things I'm sure are faulty, right? The fuse goes off too quickly, and then you're left with Jason Pierre-Paul situation from several years ago.
Those are the worst things ever. But here's the funnier news in firework news, by the way. You can go to West Virginia now and get the crazy big box fireworks now that you see at all the other places now, which is wild because you used to be only get those in Pennsylvania. Now West Virginia be able to get that now.
How does that help me? Like, am I anywhere close to West Virginia?
No. That's what I always say. Like, it's always good to have a nice neighboring state to have a good set of fireworks. Anyways, that's the one thing I've noticed down here. You have fireworks, but you don't have the crazy West Virginia fireworks or the PA fireworks. Anyways, that's my one difference when I see 4th of July. Because Jersey Shore, everyone's lighting off fireworks, no matter if it's from Maryland, Virginia, PA, no matter what, or up north. Anyways, now it's like, what fireworks do we use down here anyways?
Well, there was I've never had, like, you know, the super professional ones, but I remember when I was in high school, you know, there used to be, like, there's a couple stores. There's one like in Key Largo, and there's one, I don't know if any of these are still there, but I think the one in Key Largo is still there because I drove by it on my last Keys trip. But there was a big fireworks store in Key Largo, and there was a big fireworks store around Dania. I live in between the two spots in Dade County, where they had, like, pretty big, I don't know if it's the West Virginia caliber, Pennsylvania.
Guerrilla fireworks, how about that?
Yeah, so they always had a couple stores where at least you could buy, like, bottle rockets and some explosives, like some actual higher quality explosives. And I remember what they would always say about it was, it's legal to sell them, but it's not legal to set them off. It's one of those weird gray areas where it's like the stores can carry them and sell them to you, but technically it's illegal for you to set these off. And so when I was like 17 years old in high school, this buddy of mine, who was like the first of my friends to have a car, would always, like, every couple weeks, we would either drive down to the Keys or we would drive up to Dania, and we would buy, like, a big box of bottle rockets, and I'd set them off in my backyard.
That's hilarious.
And I remember those were not technically legal.
That's hilarious. That's kind of cool, though. We were all reckless back in the day, which is hilarious, which is always the best.
Oh, there was one time when I was, like, out of matches in my house. I didn't have a lighter or anything. Mm-hmm. And so here's the plan that I concocted. I almost burned my house down. So seriously, like, there was a door to the side yard that was like 10 feet away from my kitchen stove. So I would turn on the stove, which would light the fuse to the bottle rocket. Then I would sprint, you know, like the 10 feet, and then launch the bottle rocket out. That seems like a really responsible plan, huh?
And that's some Jason Pierre-Paul stuff right there for you.
Yeah. So there was one time when, after lighting the fuse and trying to sprint to the door to throw the rocket out the door, where I dropped it and it went off inside my house, but no fire, nothing happened. It just freaked out a little bit. And that was all she wrote. 305-567-0560 is how you get in. We get a couple people texting in who are up early here on this holiday weekend. He says, Dave here. Good morning, Dono. Yes, I probably got 7 lawns to fertilize, but it's great to hear you. That's important work out there.
Stay hydrated out there. Stay hydrated out there. It's been hot out lately. I'll say that for sure.
By the way, you said something in your weather report that made me chuckle. Did you say there is a 95% chance of humidity? I think that means 95% humidity. There's 100% chance of humidity.
I said 91%. I said 91% chance of humidity. That's what it is.
Yeah, I don't think that's. I think it's 91% humidity. It's not chance of. The chance of humidity is 100.
I'll edit that. Don't worry.
You don't have to if you don't want to edit it. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it quite a bit. Oh, man. So where are we at right now, South Florida sports wise? Because I'm still I'm still in a mode where I feel like I'm drinking beer from the Stanley Cup still.
Oh, really?
Like Roberto Luongo. Like I feel like I'm eating spaghetti out of the Stanley. Like I'm still celebrating that, but I'm on social media a lot, Trevor, and I host various other shows talking South Florida sports, including Locked On Canes, which I'm going to have an episode coming up later on today, where it's a very, very busy summer in recruiting for the Miami Hurricanes.
Mm-hmm.
Got another big-time recruit yesterday in Hilton Drake Stubbs, four-star safety. We're hoping to get four-star interior offensive lineman S.J. Olofi-Tuli later today. We'll see how that one goes. But in terms of big picture on my local teams, I'm still buzzing from the Stanley Cup championship. But I've noticed a lot of people have moved on to complaining about the Miami Heat doing nothing. There's been a lot of that, right? Because other teams in the East are getting better and the Heat are staying the same or maybe getting worse because probably not going to be re-signing Caleb Martin.
You have a team going up for sale too, by the way.
What's that?
You have the Celtics going up for sale too also. That's also going on in the East also.
Yeah. Do we have any word on who may buy them?
Like, no,
Trevor,
it's
do you
so,
want to put in a bid, you and me?
Here's what I know about the Celtics organization, the ownership. It's a bunch of people anyway. So we need a bunch of millionaires.
It's like a consortium.
So it's a consortium, which I kind of like. So can we get me, you, Joe Rose's money, maybe Hollywood's money, and maybe another like player as well that we know that we like, maybe a hockey player at least, make a lot of money. It's still on a buyout clause maybe, and we can put it towards the Celtics at least.
And I hate the Celtics so much. I would want to buy the Celtics just so I could burn them into the ground. That's what I would. I would want to have that kind of like bleep you. Like if I was like Bobby Axelrod from Billions, he's had that vengeful streak. And
yes.
I would buy the Celtics and I would like disband the Celtics where I would change their name to something ridiculous. I would get the worst players on purpose to make them.
Cedric Maxwell's on line one if you do that already. So
that's what I would do. But yeah, no, it's been a frustrating. We're only what 5 days now, not even
like
a full 5 days in NBA free agency. But there's a lot of frustration out there. Now, I know even like from a Panthers side, there's been some disappointment that they can't retain every single player from the Stanley Cup champs. But let me tell you something:
you don't want that.
Retaining Sam Reinhart, massive, absolutely massive. And it's difficult when every team in the NHL is going to have free agent players who are on contract. Every single year, it's inevitable. And when you win the Stanley Cup, your players that are in contract years automatically become more valuable because A, they just won a Stanley Cup. That's a shine that gets added to the resume. And B, since you just won a Stanley Cup, probably all your players are contributing to that. Okay. So it gets expensive in a salary cap sport to retain all of your free agents when you win a Stanley Cup. The Florida Panthers have addressed the most important retention, and that was re-signing Sam Reinhart. So already right there, you're winning. And the Panthers are going to have the same core of players heading into next year. So it's not easy to repeat in that sport or any sport, but at least we know, Trevor, the Florida Panthers are going to be a competitive hockey team, perennial playoff team, Stanley Cup contender for years to come.
My only question is the back end, especially. Losing Montour is huge. I said, like, I'm always like, you can always have the winger, but I love the defenseman who can move the puck around. Like, if you have two great pairings, the first pair and the second pair, you're good to go. I know everyone loves Reinhart down here. I wanted Montour to stay a little bit, but I understand after seeing the Gus Forsling contract, it's like Montour's not going to stay here anyways. He's going to get paid somewhere big anyways. Everyone needs a defenseman anyways. Seeing him go to Seattle is really weird, but it's good. That's free agency, honestly. So that's what I'll say about that for sure. And half the back end with the Toronto. It's the funnier part anyways.
Yeah. I know. If they can't beat us, try to sign as many of our players as possible for these old Maple Leafs.
Well, you got Craig Berube up there. He wants defense anyway. So I like his gravitas he's bringing up there. Like we can always have all the wingers, but we need the back end so badly anyways. So yeah.
And hopefully the back end is in good shape for the Cats next season, because obviously playing physical defensive hockey, I mean, they score a lot of goals, but being physical, that's a huge part of the Panthers' identity. So we need to shore that up. All right, my friends, we have a lot coming up on this episode. We are, by the way, I love this time of year, Trevor, because we can talk so much about free agency, offseason, recruiting in college football. We're less than 2 months away from the Miami Hurricanes against the Florida Gators, August 31st.
Are you hyped for that game?
Oh my God, am I hyped for that? Of course I'm hyped for that.
I feel
that
like
game.
No one's hyping this game up except for you and a few others. And it's like no one's hyping this game up in the city right now. Like, come on. Like, I know it's the Panthers won the Stanley Cup. I know college football's around the corner. Like, we should be going crazy about this Florida UF Miami game. It's like 2001 already. Come on.
Well, I'll tell you why when we come back, why we should be going crazy for that game. You want to keep it locked right here. Alex Dono, Trevor Harris with you. Brand new episode of the Joe Rose Show, AM 560 Sports, WQAM.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rep. Number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Trevor appreciates the significance that is Miami at the Florida Gators on August 31st. And he said, I'm not doubting what he said, that it's not getting enough hype down in this town. I'm sure they're talking about it in Gainesville quite a bit. So hopefully we start talking about it more in South Florida. But it's an incredibly significant season opening game. Where do I even start, right? This used to be, going back to the 1980s up until 87, I think, an annual, the same way Miami versus Florida State. Annual rivalry game, Florida versus Florida State. Miami versus Florida used to be an annual rivalry. And in fact, if you go back to the 80s and prior, I know a lot of you listening may be like 25, you don't know any better. But if you go back to the 80s and prior, a lot of old school Miami fans would tell you the Gators, that was always the team you hated more than Florida State. Like, that was the even bigger rivalry. But they took the annual part of that thing away. So these teams meet each other. You know, once in a blue moon, you do a home and home, or back in 2019, they played it in Orlando for one of those season opening kickoff games. So they're, and of course, recruit a lot of the same players, right? In-state rivalries are always special. A lot of these players that go head to head are former high school teammates or former high school opponents. But if you zoom in, Trevor, right, we look at what this game means to both coaches. Now, I especially look at that on, and not to say, obviously, Mario Cristobal, if you're not taking the knee last year, like he doesn't have like Nick Saban 2015 type of job security. I'm not saying that, but there's definitely a little bit more security, if not a lot more security on the Cristobal side than there is on the Billy Napier side. Because on the Billy Napier side, I'm already, as someone who covers recruiting, I'm already seeing Florida's having a difficult time right now locking in a lot of blue chip recruits, because the buzz kind of around the country is, hey, are you sure the coach who's recruiting you right now is still going to be there a few months from now, which would completely turn your recruitment upside down. So Florida, like, there's a reason why the recruiting class right now, when, you know, teams like Miami and even Florida State's been landing a lot of players lately, are rising. Miami's number 11 right now in recruiting. Florida State is like risen into the 30s, and they're going to keep rising. Florida's still in the 60s. So, you know, for Billy Napier, and Florida's got the toughest schedule in the country. That's one of the reasons why his job security is not great heading into the season. But winning that game against Miami, though, I hope it doesn't happen for him, but winning that game against Miami would help exercise a lot of those demons. It would be massive from a recruiting standpoint, right?
Yeah.
Obviously, you could say some of the same things for Mario Cristobal coming off of last year and the knee that was not taken, which will haunt him forever. And, you know, this game for either team, winning that game at the Swamp August 31st could set the tone for your entire season, right?
As someone who produces those games, I just want Josie to be happy. I want to see Josie to walk out of there with a W, because that's the thing I want to see. I want to see Josie walking out of the Swamp with a W on his chest, or waving the UM flag anyway. That's what I see. As someone who's not from the North, some down here, Florida has lost its luster ever since Steve Spurrier and Urban Meyer left anyways. That's what I've always said anyways. Yeah. And it shows now they're just at that college. They're just over there. When you look at college football in Florida, you look at Florida State and Miami. Then I say this, who cares about the Gators? They're just there. The only thing they have to deal with is they have to go to Texas or Oklahoma this year, and they're going to get pounded, pile-driven, and I want to see that anyway. Seeing all the Texas fans just making fun of the Gator fans is the one thing I'm looking forward to this year.
Well, Florida, I'm going to pull up their football schedule for you because they have the toughest schedule in the country, according to just about every metric. So, you know, they open up at home against Miami. I know Florida fans are all going to say, well, we're going to win that game. Miami fans are going to say, we're going to win that game. Miami is favored. And for what it's worth, Miami is favored by 2.5-3 points in that opening game against the Swamp, which is going to happen when you add Cam Ward and Damian Martinez and others to your team in the offseason. But that's a huge game to open up the year. Then Florida is home against Samford. That's probably the only easy game they have all season.
That's a W. Well, don't forget the Cal game. That's another easy one. Cal doesn't want to play football half the time anyways.
Does Florida play Cal this year?
No, Miami plays Cal anyways.
I'm talking about Florida. Oh, Florida. I'm talking about Florida's schedule. How they've got the toughest schedule. No, Miami's schedule's not difficult. Florida's got the toughest schedule in the country. So they've got, after Miami, they host Samford, which is the one easy game that they get. They host Texas A&M. They're at Mississippi State. Home against UCF. UCF's not bad. That'll be interesting.
That's the one I want to see. If they lose, Florida may just burn to the ground that night anyways.
Yeah. Yeah. Then they're at Tennessee. They did beat Tennessee in the Swamp last year in an upset, so Tennessee's going to be angry. They're home against Kentucky. They don't beat Kentucky anymore. Kentucky ran for like 600 yards against Florida last year.
Is Al Horford playing? This is a better basketball matchup.
Yeah, you're right about that. Then they're at Georgia. I got Georgia by 60 in that game. At Texas
at 11 a.m. 11 a.m. kick for these Gators. I don't know if they can handle Austin at 11 a.m.
I think you're looking at the Central Time kickoff. It's noon Eastern Time. I think Central Time, local time in Texas.
Yeah, I want to make sure everyone knows the local, real local time anyway.
Oh, okay, fair enough, fair enough. And then they are home against LSU. Like LSU will probably be LSU doesn't have much of a defense, but they probably will be favored pretty heavily in that game. Home against Ole Miss, and then at Florida State. So it's a toughest schedule in the country. So it's like, Gator fans are, you know, they're looking at the schedule saying Miami might be one of the easier games that we play in their mind, which I don't agree with that. But and then for Miami, on the flip side, the opportunity is you beat Florida on the road to start the season. That's one of Miami's probably three toughest games on the schedule. So Florida State at home won't be easy for Miami. Obviously, Florida State has had the better end of that series over the past 3 years. And Louisville on the road is one of the tougher games for Miami. Other than that, the schedule is very manageable, right? There's always going to be teams that can sneak up on the Hurricanes because guess what? Miami hasn't taken care of business in the easier games on their schedule. So you got to play on the road against Georgia Tech. You've got to play at home against a pretty good Virginia Tech team this year. You've got to beat Manny Diaz's Duke Blue Devils at home this season. USF on the road, it's not going to be a picnic. They gave Alabama all they could handle in a weird weather game last year. But man, and Trevor, I prefer to open up the season this way, right? Because a lot of years, you'll open up against, you know, like an FCS school or a group of five school to start the season. I like to have the big game to open up the year. I like to have that spotlight. And Miami and Florida both have that this year. I'm excited for it because I'm a lot more pumped for the season opening game than I usually am.
I'm more excited because it gives me a reason to watch college football. I hate this is very Northeast biased thing. I know people are going to yell at me for this. If you have a good matchup week one, I'll watch. If it's not, I was like, wake me up week two at least. That's what I always said. Like Miami, Florida, that's what I'm going to watch anyways. But I'm going to be producing the game anyways, helping out the Canes broadcast. So I'm excited for it anyways. So I'll say that anyways. As someone who dated a Gator fan, I hope they lose up by 100 anyways.
That's right. You did.
She's long gone. How about that?
Long gone. Wow.
I threw all those.
Who broke up with who?
Her. She said that I threw all the Gator merch she gave me, I threw it in a donation bin at my apartment anyways.
Good for you.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Good thing, yeah. Very good thing, anyways. So, can we just say the best, when you look at the Canes' schedule, are we allowed to question the West Coast trip yet? Can we start doing that?
It's a tough trip. This will be when Miami has to go out to Cal this year. That's going to be the farthest that they have traveled for a game since losing to Washington in September of 2000.
Okay,
that'll be the far. And again, Miami should have beaten that Washington team that year, but they didn't. And I'd like to think the travel had something to do with that, because you don't usually make trips like that in college. Like that's a tough trip. Mm-hmm. And then I look at it on the flip side. Obviously, for Cal, they get that one at home. But then Cal and Stanford, who are now in the ACC, mm-hmm. they're going to be making trips like that out east on the regular. That's going to be a lot tougher for them than for the other teams in the ACC.
I've been told there's a lot of UM contingent out in the Bay Area, by the way. I know.
Really?
Yes, there's a big UM contingent. I don't want to give my source, but my boy Sam Lubman told me there's a lot of UM fans out there, and that there's.
Hey, how are you gonna say I don't want to give my source up?
Sam Lubman told me later. Sam Lubman's allowed to, anyways. He told me there's a lot of UM guys.
You said I don't want to give my source
but
up.
I don't want to give up my source up.
But later you gave him up.
But I will anyways, because he wants that clout anyways. I gotta tell him anyways. So there's a lot of UM fans out there. So it's
honestly, good. I could see that because. So, like a couple of, and I might be leaving somebody out here, but right off the top of my head, a couple of the greatest quarterbacks in UM history are from that area. Gino Toretta, mm-hmm. from that area of the country. Ken Dorsey, mm-hmm. from that area. There's probably others that I'm not even thinking of, but I mean, Kyle Wright, but he wasn't a great quarterback here. He was from that area. But there was, I could see there being a large Canes contingent out there because. Ken Dorsey, very, very popular high school player there. A lot of family members. Gino Toretta was another one of the best to ever do it.
You have the LA, you have the LA UM fan base that will travel up anyways up to the Bay Area. No worries. Yeah. You have the West Coast Cane fan coming out anyways. That's not waiting for a bowl game anyway. So they will be there.
Yeah, I know. Like some of the strongest alumni areas, because we're getting more national now in terms of UM fans. Like I know that there's a very strong alumni contingent in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Like I think a lot of people who go to UM end up going out there for whatever businesses they have. What is it? They still do the racketeering? Is that still big? Is Al Capone still handling things up there? Up there for the racketeering.
There's a lot of booze and alcohol up there anyways, and a lot of plus Barstool has a headquarters out there, so there's a lot of UM people there.
Oh,
also.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I know Chicago is a big alumni area for Miami. The Northeast.
Oh, yeah.
The Northeast, because a lot of students come down from the Northeast. That's a big portion of the student body is from there. Then they go back to the area after they're done. And I noticed like a lot of Canes fans have been moving out to because Florida's gotten so expensive to live
in. It's pricing me out right now. It's starting to price me out over here as a producer.
Pricing people out. A lot of Canes fans are moving out to Georgia and to North Carolina because I talked to a lot of folks, obviously, with Locked On Canes. I get so many people will check in. They're living in Georgia now. They're living in like the Raleigh and Charlotte areas in North Carolina. So
keep an eye out.
Miami's alumni base is spread now.
Keep an eye out for Texas also, anywhere in Dallas and Houston area. Keep an eye out for them anyways over there.
Yeah, my guy Chalupa Batman. That's what he goes by with his content. He lives in Houston. He's a huge diehard Miami fan.
And that's usually A&M country, by the way. Houston's big A&M country, by the way. I don't know if anyone knows that. That's the crazy thing. Like Dallas Fort Worth areas is either it's Texas Tech and UT and SMU or TCU. If you went to A&M, you pretty much live in Houston. You pretty much moved to Houston. Okay. That's a little inside info I've been told by people.
I've come to find out, obviously I knew that they were rivals, but I've come to find out just how much SMU and TCU fans hate each other. Right.
Yes.
So there was this thing that happened on social media a few days ago. This file this under fake news, because this was, and honestly,
all right,
you don't have to be Sherlock Holmes to figure out what was going on here. So I don't know if you heard about that. This news came out like a month ago, 3 weeks ago, that SMU, which is now in the ACC, mm-hmm. private school. You remember the Pony XS?
Oh, yeah. That's the best. One of my favorite 30 for 30s, I like to say.
Yeah. But there's a lot of money in Dallas, right? A lot of oil money and stuff. And SMU, and you know, this was done legitimately for everything I could tell. SMU, since they moved up to the ACC, their athletic department, through fundraising and boosters, they've raised, I think the number was about $159 million, which is extraordinary. Like that's more, I don't know if any, within 1 year, they've raised $159 million. And for all I can tell, this was done completely legitimately, okay? There was this campaign of TCU trolls last week that started to spread, and they changed their X handles, their Twitter handles. They changed them to make it look like they were college football news outlets, and they fooled a lot of people. And it was like an organized campaign of TCU fan trolls who started to put out this fake report, and they fooled a lot of, not me, because I'm not an idiot, but they fooled a lot of people saying, oh, this money was raised illegally, and the attorney general is looking in, they're getting audited by the IRS. And then people started to share this and like, oh, SMU's in trouble. But it was completely fraudulent fake news. But it's like, man, those two fan bases hate each other so much that like they stepped up their troll game to a point that they were accusing the other team of like illegal money, which is not true, but they were accusing them of illegal activity. I'm like, man, organized troll campaign. This is the kind of stuff they usually do out of the Kremlin or North Korea. They had like an organized troll farm of TCU fans accusing SMU of raising illegal funds. So I'm like, man, that's how much those fan bases hate each other.
Can we just get TCU now in the ACC now? Because I want this content now in the news already for us.
I know.
Like I know they're in the Big 12. We would love the entertainment. Plus, we get another school in Texas anyways. Suck at UT. Yeah. And I would love it anyways. It'd be so entertaining because we would have funny stuff to talk about 24/7. Because TCU is in Fort Worth. I'm going to give you this. Where SMU is, it's a very nice campus. I've driven through the campus. It's in the nicest part of Dallas, by the way. Like, you wouldn't even believe, anyways. It's very nice, anyways. And I look at it as, like, TCU would do this. I don't know who's in charge of TCU, but it's hilarious, though. Anyways, I like how we're doing it, our troll game. We're stepping our game up, and we're getting the government involved, anyways.
And by the way, I'm always not that I would promote that type of trolling. That's a pretty serious allegation, but I will always take sports trolling over political trolling because I get tired of that nonsense. Like I would much rather see sports trolling on my timeline than all the constant political arguments because I'm not into that stuff. I mean, I stay in my lane. I'm a sports guy. That's what I enjoy. 305-567-0560 is how you get in. 305-567-0560 on the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line. See, I said I don't want to get political. Then someone texts in, Dono for president. Go Bears. Does he mean go Golden Bear? Because we were talking about Cal a minute ago. I don't know if he means Golden Bears or Chicago Bears, Dub Bears. We'll wrap up the 6 o'clock hour when we come back on AM 560 Sports WQAM. At 6 a.m. hour here on the Joe Rose Show. Alex Dono and Trevor Harris in for Joe Rose in Hollywood today. AM 560 Sports WQAM. Cannot get through an hour, nor do I want to get through an hour without at least mentioning Tua Tagovailoa and the contract situation. So a texter writes in, what's up with Tua's contract? I have a suspicion he'll hold out till the bye week. Both sides are playing chicken. Imagine going 4-1 with Mike White at the helm. It's possible. Okay, so the actual latest on this, for what it's worth, Mike Garofalo, earlier this week on NFL Network, he did report that the Dolphins, he says that the sides are talking again and that Tua, in his words, Tua Tagovailoa's new contract will come well before the start of week one of the regular season. So he doesn't seem to think there's going to be a holdout situation. Now, personally, Trevor, I don't know if you feel differently on this, but even if the contract does not get done before the season starts, I don't know if Tua is willing to take this to an actual holdout. I could see him doing a hold in. Like, I could see him doing a hold in where he doesn't fully participate in practice and maybe he only does 7-on-7 stuff because you accomplish two things there. Like, you make a statement like, hey, I'm not happy, And then the other thing you accomplish is, you put yourself at less of a risk of injury without having the new contract. But then when it actually came time to play games, like regular season games, I couldn't actually imagine him holding out, nor do I think he'll need to, because for better or for worse, I think the contract is going to get done, like Mike Garofolo said, before the season starts.
I want to hold out. I really do. I really need the content for his summer. That's why. I really need us something to talk about during training camp, really, because I don't want to be talking about, Mike McDaniel this, McDaniel that, Tyreek Hill this, Jalen Waddle this. I want to hold out. I want Tua to have a bone in there. Like, I'm not going to come in until I get a contract. I want to see it. I want content for us to talk about. I want to see one of these quarterbacks have a spine. It's like, no, get out of here. I'm going to take my bike. I'm going to go fishing in Fort Lauderdale or something on my buoy. You know, like, I just want him to have a spine and just, you know what? I'm not coming in yet until my contract's ready. That's what I want to see, because I need entertainment with these Miami athletes at least.
Yeah. I mean, I guess the question from a Dolphins point of view is, are you 1000% sure this is where you want to go long term? And as a fan, I'm very wishy-washy on that, because I don't put Tua in the top echelon of quarterbacks, but I also don't know if I would trust the Dolphins to find that guy if it's not Tua, right? So, and then from a Dolphin point of view, for Chris Greer, this is the guy that I've hitched my wagon to. This is someone I drafted. I want him to succeed. I want to re-sign him at the right price, because the quarterback market, of course, is getting very, very, very expensive. So from a Dolphin point of view, I would understand. And also from a financial point of view, at least the way it's been explained to me by the cap experts, is at least in the short term, you would actually save money, because you can reorganize, distribute the money. If you sign him to the long-term deal, that would actually be cheaper against the cap for this coming year than franchise tagging him or having him play out on what, $23 million this coming season. So you actually save yourself money by doing so. It just makes too much sense not to happen. Here's from Pro Football Rumors, the latest as of July 3rd, latest on Dolphins Tua Tagovailoa talks. They say contract talks have been ongoing throughout the spring, and developments on the QB front have helped Tagovailoa's bargaining position. Yeah, that's great for him, not so great for the Dolphins. They say the Lions gave Jared Goff a third contract carrying an annual average value of $53 million before Trevor Lawrence secured a Jaguars extension worth $55 million per year. Tagovailoa is younger than Goff, while he has generally outplayed Lawrence when healthy, they write.
All right, Trevor Lawrence should not get $55 million.
He shouldn't. And again, that's the problem on the Dolphins for waiting this long. Like, if you know you want to extend him anyway, you should have gotten it done earlier.
You should have done it last year.
Every now and then, you get a wild, like Trevor Lawrence getting $55 million annually, that was a wild card that they probably didn't anticipate, but that drives up the price now for Tua.
Everyone, like I said this, Tua should get the contract done before Jalen Hurts got his contract done. Jalen Hurts got his contract done. Justin Herbert's probably going to, I think Justin Herbert's got his contract done right too, I believe. I just don't remember numbers.
Yes. Yeah, he's got his done yet.
How he's not gotten it done yet is ridiculous, honestly. Like, they should have done, like, okay, let's look at the Herbert contract and the Hurts contract and combine those together somehow and, like, figure out a number and make it happen. Because right now, the only Greer that's getting more love right now than Chris Greer is Mike Greer, because he's doing a hell of a job right now with the San Jose Sharks. He's getting more shine right now at the dinner table for the Greer family function right now anyways.
Yeah, and also, like, it makes it, like, the way Omar Kelly, the way he characterizes it is that it to his teammates want this to get done for him. And, like, I heard Omar bring up this scenario where, what if every time a Dolphins player talks, like, because, you know, training camp coming up, there's going to be media availability after every practice, every Dolphin player ends their media avail with pay Tua, that they could try to help. I don't know if they'll actually do something like that or not, but that they could maybe help them get a deal done.
Or just wear a t-shirt, pay Tua. Like, yeah, come on, like, pay Tua. Make the shirts. Like, I know Jalen Waddle's got some money right now, and Tyreek, make some comfy cotton shirts. Pay Tua, send them out, make them out to the teammates, maybe sell some to the fans at least, and you'd be good to go at least. Come on, it'd be kind of cool. Nice little movement right there.
Yeah. Well, people, of course, are chiming in on Tua on the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line.
When are they not? 305.
It's true. They always are. 305-567-0560. In the 305, someone says, I'd rather have Goff. And honestly, Jared Goff gets talked about like he's chopped liver. He's been really, really good in Detroit.
Yes.
Right. And obviously he was good enough in Los Angeles.
He was all right in LA.
Super Bowl. He was all right out there. But he's been really good in Detroit. So, but the thing is, like they pointed out in that article, he is older than Tua, but he's accomplished more in his career than Tua has. Like, there's no question about that. Right. So Goff is not chopped liver.
I remember the debates that, like, it was 2016. As an Eagles got the second pick. I was looking, I would take Jared Goff, no problem. Anyways, I said to the people, like, they took Wentz, like, I don't trust this guy anyways, but we'll see what happens. And I was kind of right anyways. So, was never a Wentz guy from the start, by the way.
Did he go to Cal? Where did Jared Goff
go? He went to Cal, yes. He went to Cal,
right?
He went to the system of Cal, where there's only basketball players and a football player, and Joe Rose.
Yeah. Well, and Aaron Rodgers.
And Tony Gonzalez, too, by the way.
He did. I forgot about that
yes,
one.
Yes, people forget.
Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah. Deshaun Jackson, number one.
I knew there was another big
Deshaun
one.
Deshaun Jackson, how you do it. So it's,
they got a rich football history. They just didn't have, not enough of those guys played at the same time was their problem. But they've had some great players come through.
I think Deshaun and Marshawn played with each other. I believe so. I could be wrong.
Yeah, I think you're probably right about that.
But when you look at it, like, no one ever played together at the same time, at least, which is wild. Because the funny thing, I know Tony Gonzalez played basketball for them, and I think he played with Jason Kidd, I believe.
Yeah, he definitely played basketball for them, Tony. And I think you're right. I think he did play with Jason Kidd. Somebody says, Trevor Lawrence won a playoff game, they said. Another person on Lawrence says, someone posted Blake Bortles' numbers next to Lawrence's, almost identical through 38 games. But then this is also, Trevor, this is also fair on Tua. Now, even though I think it's probably the right thing to do for the Dolphins to commit to Tua long term, I wish they'd done it before some of these other contracts came out because you could have gotten a discount. But I've been very much a skeptic, though. You guys know that. Like, I've been very much a skeptic on Tua, and how could I not be when the Dolphins, you know, haven't had consistency at that position in the past 25 years? Okay, so I've been very much a skeptic, and someone says, "Hey, Tua has never won a significant game, not much less a playoff game." Like, he's won a handful of significant.
The Cowboy game was a significant game. That was a big win. Well, and helped me
and
out.
He beat Baltimore a couple of years ago. That big comeback. I think he's beaten Baltimore twice. Even
no, he's 2-1 versus Baltimore.
Okay, yeah. So he's beaten them twice. They had the huge second half comeback in 2022. I guess it was. So
yeah, I was producing that game too. Also,
right. But the texture's right about the playoff games. His playoff resume, same as mine. Zero wins.
Well, he didn't start that one. That's the other thing, too. He was already in Concussion City, population 5 already, in 2022 already. If he showed against the Bills, that would have been kind of entertaining, at least, if he was able to come back. But I understand concussions is a big thing. We look at Eric Lindros. That's what happened anyways. So,
yeah, so he didn't play in the Buffalo game. He did play. I guess you could call that playing. He did suit up for that game against Kansas City
in the cold
last year. Yeah. Oh man, didn't fans lose limbs?
Yes.
Going out.
Fans
there?
Also died at that game too. I was
really.
Yeah. One group of fan bases that were watching it outside their house, and like a group of fans died.
Oh, so they weren't at the. So they weren't people who were at the stadium.
But that game was like crazy because like people died and lost limbs, everything. And I looked at that game. I was like, I like my house, I like my couch, and I like a heated blanket. Yeah. Please say no more.
Now, obviously, if you were a Dolphin fan and you lost like a pinky finger, not worth it. But if you were a Chiefs fan and you went to that game and you lost a pinky, do you think they said, you know what, I lost a pinky, but it was worth it? Playoff win and route to a Super Bowl again. That they thought, you know, that you can look back on your four-fingered hand and say, this is a great memory from that season.
I would rather lose a pinky toe than a finger, honestly.
Yeah,
that's
probably
me.
So.
The pinky finger, I could use it for something, you know. You may need it for something important, you know. Like, you may be like, want to be cool, you want to rock a pinky ring almost, you know.
I've never even thought about rocking a pinky ring. I think if it's on, like, are you right-handed? Like, you'd probably.
I'm right-handed, yeah.
So if you lost the pinky finger on your left hand, I don't think it would change your life at all. Maybe on the right hand, it might change your
life.
Yeah,
right. Like, certain balance, you know. Circumference of balance. I don't know. I don't know what I'm saying. Trying to sound smarter.
Although I got, when I type on it, like I'm a traditional typist. Like I type properly, where you use all eight main fingers, the thumbs for the space bar.
Yeah.
It would, if I lost one of my pinkies, it would, that's the one where you hit the A and the Q from, and the one that would affect my typing. So would not be
it. No, that would be the one you would lose. You would lose like the comma.
Oh.
Yeah. That's the, when you have it all laid out perfectly, it's like you have the first pinky's on A, the last pinky on your right is on the comma or quotation marks. So,
all
right. I was like, let me check if I'm right on this one.
I am a stickler for punctuation. I'm also a stickler for trying to hit break somewhat on time. We got the 7 o'clock hour coming up next here on AM 560 Sports WQAM. It's 6 a.m. hour here on the Joe Rose Show. Alex Dono and Trevor Harris in for Joe Rose in Hollywood today. AM 560 Sports WQAM. Cannot get through an hour, nor do I want to get through an hour without at least mentioning Tua Tagovailoa and the contract situation. So a texter writes in, what's up with Tua's contract? I have a suspicion he'll hold out till the bye week. Both sides are playing chicken. Imagine going 4-1 with Mike White at the helm. It's possible. Okay, so the actual latest on this, for what it's worth, Mike Garofalo earlier this week on NFL Network, he did report that the Dolphins, he says that the sides are talking again, and that Tua, in his words, Tua Tagovailoa's new contract will come well before the start of week one of the regular season. So he doesn't seem to think there's going to be a holdout situation. Now, personally, Trevor, I don't know if you feel differently on this, but even if the contract does not get done before the season starts, I don't know if Tua is willing to take this to an actual holdout. I could see him doing a hold in. Like, I could see him doing a hold in where he doesn't fully participate in practice, and maybe he only does 7-on-7 stuff, because you accomplish two things there. Like, you make a statement like, hey, I'm not happy. And then the other thing you accomplish is, you put yourself at less of a risk of injury without having the new contract. But then when it actually came time to play games, like regular season games, I couldn't actually imagine him holding out. Nor do I think he'll need to, because for better or for worse, I think the contract is going to get done, like Mike Garofalo said, before the season starts.
I want to hold out. I really do. I really need the content for his summer. That's why. I really need us something to talk about during training camp, really, because I don't want to be talking about, oh, Mike McDaniel this, McDaniel that, Tyreek Hill this, Jalen Waddle this. I want a holdout. I want Tua to have a bone in there. Like, I'm not going to come in until I get a contract. I want to see it. I want content for us to talk about. I want to see one of these quarterbacks have a spine. It's like, no, get out of here. I'm going to take my bike. I'm going to go fishing in Fort Lauderdale or something on my buoy. You know, like I just want him to have a spine and just, you know what? I'm not coming in yet until my contract's ready. That's what I want to see, because I need entertainment with these Miami athletes at least.
Yeah. I mean, I guess the question from a Dolphins point of view is, are you 1000% sure this is where you want to go long term? And as a fan, I'm very wishy-washy on that, because I don't put Tua in the top echelon of quarterbacks, but I also don't know if I would trust the Dolphins to find that guy if it's not Tua, right? So and then from a Dolphin point of view, for Chris Greer, this is the guy that I've hitched my wagon to. This is someone I drafted. I want him to succeed. I want to re-sign him at the right price, because the quarterback market, of course, is getting very, very, very expensive. So from a Dolphin point of view, I would understand. And also from a financial point of view, at least the way it's been explained to me by the cap experts, is at least in the short term, you would actually save money, because you can reorganize, distribute the money. If you sign him to the long-term deal, that would actually be cheaper against the cap for this coming year than franchise tagging him or having him play out on what, $23 million this coming season. So you actually save yourself money by doing so. It just makes too much sense not to happen. Here's from Pro Football Rumors, the latest as of July 3rd, latest on Dolphins Tua Tagovailoa talks. They say contract talks have been ongoing throughout the spring, and developments on the QB front have helped Tagovailoa's bargaining position. Yeah, that's great for him, not so great for the Dolphins. They say the Lions gave Jared Goff a third contract carrying an annual average value of $53 million before Trevor Lawrence secured a Jaguars extension worth $55 million per year. Tagovailoa is younger than Goff, while he has generally outplayed Lawrence when healthy, they write.
All right, Trevor Lawrence should not get $55 million.
He shouldn't. And again, that's the problem on the Dolphins for waiting this long. Like, if you know you want to extend him anyway, you should have gotten it done earlier.
You should have done it last year.
Every now and then, you get a wild, like Trevor Lawrence getting $55 million annually. That was a wild card that they probably didn't anticipate, but that drives up the price now for Tua.
Everyone, like I said this, Tua should get the contract done before Jalen Hurts got his contract done. Jalen Hurts got his contract done. Justin Herbert's probably going to, I think Justin Herbert's got his contract done right too, I believe. I just don't remember numbers.
Yes. Yeah, he's got his done yet.
How he's not gotten it done yet is ridiculous, honestly. Like, they should have done, like, okay, let's look at the Herbert contract and the Hurts contract and combine those together somehow and, like, figure out a number and make it happen. Because right now, the only Greer that's getting more love right now than Chris Greer is Mike Greer. Because he's doing a hell of a job right now with the San Jose Sharks. He's getting more shine right now at the dinner table for the Greer family function right now anyways.
Yeah, and also, like, it makes it, like, the way Omar Kelly, the way he characterizes it is that it to his teammates want this to get done for him. And, like, I heard Omar bring up this scenario where what if every time a Dolphins player talks, like, because, you know, training camp coming up, there's going to be media availability after every practice, every Dolphin player ends their media avail with pay Tua, that they could try to help. I don't know if they'll actually do something like that or not, but that they could maybe help them get a deal done.
Or just wear a t-shirt. Pay Tua. Like, yeah, come on. Like,
pay Tua.
Make the shirts. Like, I know Jalen Waddle's got some money right now, and Tyreek. Make some comfy cotton shirts. Pay Tua. Send them out. Make them out to the teammates. Maybe sell some to the fans at least, and you'd be good to go at least. Come on. It'd be kind of cool. Nice little movement right there.
Yeah. Well, people, of course, are chiming in on Tua on the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line.
When are they not? 305.
It's true. They always are. 305-567-0560. In the 305, someone says, I'd rather have Goff. And honestly, Jared Goff gets talked about like he's chopped liver. He's been really, really good in Detroit.
Yes.
Right? And obviously, he was good enough in Los Angeles.
He was all right
in
LA.
Super Bowl. He was all right out there. But he's been really good in Detroit. So, but the thing is, like, they pointed out in that article, he is older than Tua, but he's accomplished more in his career than Tua has. Like, there's no question about that, right? So Goff is not chopped liver.
I remember the debates that, like, it was 2016. As the Eagles got the second pick. I was looking, I would take Jared Goff, no problem. Anyways, I said to the people, like, they took Wentz, like, I don't trust this guy anyways, but we'll see what happens. And I was kind of right anyways. So was never a Wentz guy from the start, by the way.
Did he go to Cal? Where did Jared go?
He went to Cal, yes. He went to Cal,
right?
He went to the system of Cal, where there's only basketball players and a football player, and Joe Rose.
Yeah. Well, and Aaron Rodgers.
And Tony Gonzalez, too, by the way.
He did. I forgot about that
yes,
one.
Yes, people forget.
Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah. Deshaun Jackson, number one.
I knew there was another big
Deshaun
one.
Deshaun Jackson, how you do it. So it's,
they got a rich football history. They just didn't have, not enough of those guys played at the same time was their problem. But they've had some great players come through.
I think Deshaun and Marshawn played with each other. I believe so. I could be wrong,
I think
so.
You're probably right about that.
But when you look at it, like, no one ever played together at the same time, at least, which is wild. Because the funny thing, I know Tony Gonzalez played basketball for them, and I think he played with Jason Kidd, I believe.
Yeah, he definitely played basketball for them, Tony. And I think you're right. I think he did play with Jason Kidd. Somebody says, Trevor Lawrence won a playoff game, they said. Another person on Lawrence says, someone posted Blake Bortles' numbers next to Lawrence's, almost identical through 38 games. But then this is also, Trevor, this is also fair on Tua. Now, even though I think it's probably the right thing to do for the Dolphins to commit to Tua long term, I wish they'd done it before some of these other contracts came out, because you could have gotten a discount. But I've been very much a skeptic, though. You guys know that. Like, I've been very much a skeptic on Tua, and how can I not be when the Dolphins, you know, haven't had consistency at that position in the past 25 years? Okay, so I've been very much a skeptic, and someone says, "Hey, Tua has never won a significant game, not much less a playoff game." he's won a handful of significant
games. The Cowboy game was a significant game. That was a big win. Well, and helped me
and
out.
He beat Baltimore a couple of years ago, that big comeback. I think he's beaten Baltimore twice even.
No, he's 2-1 versus Baltimore.
Okay. Yeah. So he's beaten them twice. They had the huge second half comeback in 2022, I guess it was. So
yes, yeah, I was producing that game too. Also,
right. But the texture's right about the playoff games. His playoff resume, same as mine. 0 wins.
Well, he didn't start one. That's the other thing too. He was already in Concussion City, population 5 already in 2022 already. If he showed against the Bills, that would have been kind of entertaining, at least, if he was able to come back. But I understand concussions is a big thing. We look at Eric Lindros. That's what happened anyways. So,
yeah, so he didn't play in the Buffalo game. He did play. I guess you could call that playing. He did suit up for that game against Kansas City.
In the cold.
Last year. Yeah. Oh, man. Didn't fans lose limbs?
Yes. Fans also died at that game, too. I was
really?
Yeah. There was one group of fan bases that were watching it outside their house, and like a group of fans died.
Oh, so they weren't at the – so they weren't people who were at the stadium.
But that game was like crazy because like people died and lost limbs, everything. And I looked at that game. I was like, I like my house. I like my couch. And I like a heated blanket, please. Say no more.
Now, obviously, if you were a Dolphin fan and you lost like a pinky finger, not worth it. But if you were a Chiefs fan and you went to that game and you lost a pinky, do you think they said, you know what, I lost a pinky, but it was worth it? Playoff win and route to a Super Bowl again. That they thought, you know, that you can look back on your four fingered hand and say, this is a great memory from that season.
I would rather lose a pinky toe than a finger, honestly.
Yeah. That's probably me. So.
The pinky finger, I could use it for something. You know, you may need it for something important. You know, like you may be like want to be cool. You want to rock a pinky ring, almost. You know.
I've never even thought about rocking a pinky ring. I think if it's on, like, are you right-handed? Like, you'd probably.
I'm right-handed. Yeah.
So if you lost the pinky finger on your left hand, I don't think it would change your life at all. Maybe on the right hand, it might change.
Yeah, right. Certain balance, you know. Comforts of balance. I don't know. I don't know what I'm saying. I'm trying to sound smarter.
Although when I type on it, like I'm a traditional typist. Like I type properly, where you use all 8 main fingers, the thumbs for the space bar.
Yeah.
It would, if I lost one of my pinkies, it would. That's the one where you hit the A and the Q from, and the one that would affect my typing. So would not be.
No, that would be the one you would lose. You would lose like the comma.
Oh
yeah. That's when you have it all laid out perfectly. It's like you have the first pinky's on A, the last pinky on your right is on the comma or quotation marks. So,
all right.
I was like, let me check if I'm right on this one.
I am a stickler for punctuation. I'm also a stickler for trying to hit break somewhat on time. We got the 7 o'clock hour coming up next here on AM 560 Sports WQAM.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.